Good morning, Bridge City Church. Happy Father's Day. Welcome. So excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here praising God, worshiping His name. Thank you to everybody that put that video together. I've never had more fun being involved in a video and watching them shoot that. Brandon Welsh and Eric Stinnett are the actors in that video. And I've never seen two men embody a role more than those two. Brandon has embodied the fact that he has a minivan, and he loves the fact that he has a minivan. He loves that minivan more than any vehicle ever. He dreams about what he could do to that minivan. I am not exaggerating. He loves that Pacifica more than any vehicle he's ever owned in his life. And he has wanted those Nike Monarchs that he is wearing right here so badly that we didn't tell him to buy them for this video. He went and bought them on his own. And that is his hat. We didn't have to get him that hat. Those are his sunglasses. That's his fanny pack. Brandon cut my grass yesterday for me in my backyard because I have like a community lawnmower that people just have a key to my shed. They come and get it, but I bargained with them. I said, hey, you could use it. Just cut my grass for me. Fighting an infection in my foot right now, so I can't do it. And he showed up full dad gear, no joke. And had his AirPods in, and he was not listening to anything but, what were you listening to? Michelle Branch. Happy Father's Day, everybody. So excited you're here. There's lots of things we get to celebrate today. Not only do we get to celebrate Father's Day, we get to celebrate child dedications today. We're so excited to stand with the Cohen family in just a little bit and see them dedicate their second daughter today. But we also get to celebrate another thing today. And some of you are like, what are we celebrating? What's the second thing? Today is June 19th, and we get to celebrate Juneteenth, which is a representation of the day that slavery was abolished in our country, that freedom reigned. And that is exciting. This is an exciting day that the bondage was broken. And you know what is even more exciting? It is exciting that people are finally learning about this day. People are finally beginning to celebrate this day. I didn't know about this day for a very long time. Some of you are wondering what this day is and just learned about it today. I'm happy that our world is learning and becoming educated. And we get to celebrate the fact that bondage was broken and freedom reigned. And we all, as brothers and sisters, get to move forward and help to see more and more people freed from the bondage that they're still stuck in. And we get to see those people freed from that, not because of what we do or what we say, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. He brings the ultimate freedom, and we get to share that. Let's pray for what God has prepared to do today. Father God, I thank you for every single person that can hear my voice, that is here with us today. God, I pray that you would have your way with each and every one of us. God, I pray that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of your word. We would take your word outside of this place, and we would give it away. God, I thank you for every single man, woman, and child here today. And God, that we would all recognize who we are as sons and daughters. And God, if we haven't taken our rightful position yet as a son or a daughter, I pray that we would do that today. We would be fully adopted into the family. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, As I said, I'll say it again, happy Father's Day. And that's not just to the physical dads in the room. That's to the men in the room. Because we all have the opportunity to be a father to somebody in our life. We all have the opportunity to prepare to be a father, to invest in young men's lives, into children's lives, into people's lives. We all have a dad in our life. Father's Day can be a sad day. It could be a great day. We have good memories. We have bad memories. Some of us don't have memories at all. I understand. But I want to start off on a fun note. We have the video already, but all of you have cards on your seats or next to you. I want you to pick it up, and I want you to give it a little shake till it makes noise. Here we go. Yeah, you did a good job. First worship experience did good too. Let's do a little quiz. I want you to sit around your tables today in your living room, around your patio furniture on the back deck, wherever you may be today. I want you to give yourself a quiz. Whether you're a man or a woman, we all say these things, but we want to see how dad you are. Let's pick a few. How about this one? How many of you said or have said, we needed this rain every time it rains? How about this one? That's how they get you. After declining an additional warranty protection. Can you do mine next? When seeing a neighbor washing their car. Anyone? Anyone said that one? One of my favorites. Look, horses! Every time you drive past horses. I always say, look, cows. I don't know why. Cows. Look, cows. Here we go. One of my all-time favorites. It's not heavy. It's just awkward. When carrying something heavy. Here we go. That's not going anywhere when tying something down. Y'all been there? Here we go. Last but certainly not least. Did you fall in? When a kid takes too long in the bathroom. Listen, have fun with these. See how dad you are. I think each and every one of us have made some great dad quotes over the years. But I want to paint a picture for you. Listen, we're going to blatantly talk to men today. Because I believe that the men in our world are under attack. The culture around us is trying to degrade men and who they are. And I want to speak to everyone in the room today. I believe we can all pull from today's message, but I'm speaking blatantly to the men in the room. And ladies, you have a big part to play in this as well. Because you encourage the men in your life. You empower the men in your life. You speak to the men in your life. You draw things out of the men in your life. Now, I want to kind of put things in perspective here. Whenever I became a dad, Rachel and I were at Forbes Regional Hospital, and I'll never forget the moment that they said, it's time to go home, and they sent me out to get the car. Now, I remember going to get the car, and I was prepared because I had put the car seat in the car, and I had called every police officer I know, state troopers. I called a Port Authority police officer, White Oak police officer. I was like, guys, will you please inspect this car seat and make sure I did it right? They're like, Nick, we'll come by the house, stop by the department, we'll look at it. You did it right. You really can't mess it up. I was like, no, I can mess it up. I really don't fit in this back seat to fully inspect it. He's like, I let my certification lapse. I don't know. I was like, you just said I can't mess it up, but you're worried about your certification lapsing? He's like, bring it by, I'll look at it. Like, okay, so he looked at it. He said, I was good. I'm walking to the car. It's February. It's freezing cold, but I'm great with that because I'm sweating bullets. I'm concerned. I'm getting ready to leave with a kid. Get the car, pull up in front of the hospital. Rachel's standing there with the nurse. The sliding glass doors open, and the nurse walks out with us. She waits to hear the click of the car seat go in, and then she says, all right, see ya. Rachel gets in the back seat because she can't ride in the front. Obviously, if anything happens, she has to be right there. So I'm riding solo in the front. Rachel's in the back. I get in the front, and I remember my heart sinking into my stomach. Like, what are we just leave now? Like, we just leave? What do we do now? No instruction manual? IKEA at least gives you a book and a couple tools. Put it in drive. We went to Panera. That's all we did. That's what we did. 4 years in, they still haven't mailed us an instruction manual. They didn't check in on the warranty, nothing. But this responsibility came upon us. This weight came upon us, and it hit. And man, every portion of, there's a period in your life where the weight of being a man hits you. I don't know, it hits us all at a different age, but being a man, the weight of it hits you. And there's a responsibility that comes with it. Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Let's keep going in Genesis. Genesis 1:31. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Guys, listen. God didn't look at you and say, oh, no. That woman, that's great, but that man, I really missed the mark on that one. Guys, you're not damaged goods. Guys, you're not messed up. Guys, you're not flawed. You're not lacking. You're not as jacked up, messed up, and screwed up as the world wants you to think you are. You're not worthless. The Word of God says that when he looked at you, he said, it is very good. God doesn't make mistakes. A man is an image bearer and son of God, entrusted with the power and responsibility to represent God in his world for God's glory and for the good of others. Listen, if you're called as a man to be an image bearer, to carry the image of God, do you think God is calling you to carry flaws? To carry lack? To carry worthlessness? To carry all the things that the world tries to put on you as a man? Women, you could pick this stuff up too, because he looked at you and said you were very good too. But it's Father's Day. We had Mother's Day a few weeks ago. And all the guys sat here and said, they did. She's just really excited for her dedication. She really is. Guys, there's a weight that comes with being a son of God as well, but listen, you don't have to carry it by yourself. The Holy Spirit is with us. At Bridge City Church, there's four pillars of a man. You've seen the White House, right? The pillars. There's a house in White Oak that has pillars. I thought the mayor lived there when I was a kid. That's right. I thought every house that had pillars was a governmental official. I really did. Every house that had pillars was important. Like the mayor lives there. It had eagles on the front of the driveway. Whenever I found out one of my high school teachers lived there, I was like, that's a sham. The mayor should live there. Mr. Tomato, you shouldn't live there. If you should, you should run for public office, sir. Men at Bridge City Church, reject passivity. You do not become a yes man. You do not just sit back and allow for things to just happen to please others. My goal is not to please people. My goal is to equip, empower, challenge, and to make others better. Passivity does not do that. I reject passivity. I accept responsibility. When I'm wrong, I own up to it. When I need to do something, I do it. I'm responsible for what's mine. I act courageously. Now listen, that does not mean that you're running into burning buildings. That does not mean that you're saving kittens from trees. I asked the question, how many of you have saved kittens from trees? And our lumberjacks raised his hand, Jimmy Young. He was over there. And now his dad's sitting in the back corner who runs into burning buildings, retired for a living. So I can't ask that question now. But not many of you are going to have that opportunity in your life. Courage doesn't mean you run into burning buildings or you climb trees to save kittens. It means that you do what is right when others aren't around. Acting courageously means that you're not going by the ways of the world just because it's easy. Acting courageously means that you're a man of character. And character is who you are when everybody's not there. You expect the greater reward. You're not just living for the here and now. Obviously, you're looking for the greater reward. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 2, at this time, as the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I am going where everyone on earth must go, someone. Take courage and be a man. Things weren't going well for King David at this point. Things weren't going great. He was getting ready to die. But he was being intentional about passing things on. Focused. Not focused on himself, but being intentional on what he was giving away. Focused on the future, not just focused on here and now and what's going on now. Men, parents, this is for everybody. We must be intentional. A great book for all of us, whether you're a dad or not, if you're a man in this room, if you're a future parent, if you never had a father and you need to learn what it means to have a father or to be fathered, The Intentional Father is a book for you, a practical guide to raise sons of courage and character. Being intentional. Intentionality. My dad wasn't intentional about a lot of things. I had to pick up things by accident. My dad, it'll be about 12 years since he passed. I'll be 13 in January. Father's Day used to be a really sad day for me. It's a joyful day now. Because I'm okay now. I've come to terms. I celebrate his life. I'm happy that he's fully healed. He's not suffering. But today is a still rough day because I'm celebrating the fact that my pappy's in heaven with Jesus today. One of the greatest fathers I ever got to be around. And you know why I say that? He was intentional about how he lived. Everything he did was on purpose. Everything he did was on purpose. There were accidents. Men, you want to live an intentional life? This might sound morbid. It's not. Write down 3 to 5 things you once said at your funeral. Write them down. I had the amazing honor of officiating my pappy's celebration of life. He had like 300 to 500 things that were said about him. And they weren't said on accident. They were intentional. Men, we can't do things by accident. There's 5 types of fathers. Irresponsible ones, ignorant ones, inconsistent ones, involved ones, and intentional ones. Here's a statement you get to make. I'm going to pick which eyes I'm going to be. And I'm about to invite one up to the stage with his family that is very intentional. And that man's named Joe Cohen. And I want you to grab your crying baby and your stressed out wife. And I'm going to invite my beautiful wife, Rachel, up to the stage. Kevin, would you mind grabbing this table that's not going to look good in pictures for their wonderful child dedication? Charlotte's so excited to be making her way up here. You know, child dedications are a joyful time. They're an exciting time. I know, Charlotte, you're so excited too. Today's a day that I know is hard for Joe. I know it's a day that's hard for Morgan. They both lost their fathers. But I want to stand here with you both and say how proud I am of both of you. With your church family, for the parents that you are continuing to become, it's been an honor to walk through life with you, to see you both meet Jesus, to see you both grow in your relationship with Jesus, to see you go through pre-marriage counseling, to see you get married, to see you struggle through the first years of marriage, to see you have Ellie, who loves getting her picture taken. She's looking right at that camera. She knows it's there. Strike a pose, Ellie. Turn around. Do a little spin, Ellie. Spin. But it has been an absolute honor to see you become parents and the joy it's been. And Ellie, Charlotte's been the best thing that's happened because you love me more now because you know that there's competition. Ellie, I'm the Uncle Nick. That never used to happen until Charlotte came around. We just want to pray a blessing over Charlotte. Father God, we thank you so much for this gift. We thank you for who she is, who she's created to be. Lord, I thank you so much for the fact that you already have a plan for this wonderful, wonderful baby. And the beginning of that plan was for these two to become her parents. And God, I pray a blessing over Joe as her father, that he will raise her to be the woman that you've created her to be. God, that he will be the man that guides her, encourages her, equips her, and helps her walk through this world. God, I thank you that Morgan is the woman that you've called to be her mom. And God, I pray that she will always point her to you. God, that when she doesn't know the answers, which will be many a times, she will point her to you, just as Joe will point his family to you. God, I thank you so much that you will equip Morgan every day of her life to be the mom that you've called her to be. Perfect in every way because of who you are and all that you've done. Lord, continue to bless this family financially, emotionally, spiritually. And God, I pray that everyone that's here to witness this today will continue to support this family. God, will continue to stand with them and encourage them. God, will call them to check in on them. God, will give Morgan a word of encouragement when Charlotte doesn't stop crying and tell her she's doing a good job. Will come up next to Joe when he has that look on his face, which we know, the I don't know look, and encourage him because he's far outnumbered by women in his house. May the guys in Joe's life know when he needs to go out for pizza because that's all he eats, Lord. Amen. Help him, Lord. God, we thank you for this family. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Ellie, go to Daddy. Here, we'll walk off the side so you guys can get a picture, just you guys. And I'm going to get a gift from Kevin here. One more time for the Cohen family. Ellie would never come to me until Charlotte was born. Ellie would give me the stank eye. She would run to Rachel. She would look at me as Rachel was cuddling with her. She would just look at me like, see, you don't get cuddles like this. And then once Charlotte was born, she knew it was time. Because there was competition that was a brewing. Joe, I'm proud of you as the dad that you're becoming. And Morgan, it's been awesome to see you grow. They're intentional. Men in this room, you may be wondering, how do you become intentional? It's really easy. It really is. Sometimes the easiest things in life can be the most complicated, though, because we overcomplicate simplicity sometimes. 1 Kings 2, verse 3. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you'll be successful in all that you do and wherever you go. Man, it's an open book test. Spend time with Jesus. Be in his word. Follow the requirements of the Lord your God. You know what my favorite subject in school was? You? Who said it? Who said lunch? You were at the first worship experience. You heard me say it. You didn't hear me? I think it's rude. Every year, every time I ask that question, people say lunch. They do. Lunch is not a class. You do not get a grade in lunch. It is not a class. I think it's rude. But that's actually perfect that you said it because I was going to say it anyways. But I didn't like lunch in school. It was too short. It wasn't long enough. I did not like lunch in school. Not enough time to socialize. You did not have enough time to move table to table and talk to everybody. Matter of fact, I got in trouble in lunch once. I had to stay after. I got punished in lunch. I had to stay after with all my friends at the same table. And we have a picture to prove it. If you want to see it after the worship experience, come see me. I got it. I was in middle school. All my friends had to sit at the same table after lunch by ourselves and eat our lunch. Sounds like punishment, huh? There's a photo. It's a great photo. I was like 6 foot. Everybody else was 4-something. It's a great, great photo. My favorite subject in school was history because the book had all the answers. History didn't change. If you wanted to know the answer, all you had to do was open the book. Now, clearly, I didn't open the book a lot. Rachel, when I dated in high school, she came to my house after school one day. She's like, I'm going to do my homework. I said, what are you doing? She opened her book bag and put books out of it. I was like, you bring those home? Listen, we need to be intentional. What do you want your kids to be? Set them up for success. How do we do that, men, fathers? It's real easy. What do you want them to know? What do you want them to know about God? What do you want them to know about themselves? What do you want them to know about the opposite sex? What do you want them to know about work? Lots of pictures to be taken on the screen. Number two, what do you want them to be? Not their job. But how do you want them to, their character to be? How do you want that to be molded? Integrity. What skills do you want them to have? I'm talking practical skills. What are you going to pass on to them? My dad never showed me how to change a tire. My dad never showed me how to hang drywall or do anything of the sort. Because he didn't do that. He paid people to do it. He said, I work at work. I don't want to work when I'm at home. I'm going to pay somebody to do it. I said, okay, good deal. That's cool. He tried to teach me how to cut grass. The first time he taught me, he showed me how to prime the engine. He cut the backyard. I was going to cut the front yard. And I went to, the engine had cooled because we ate lunch. I thought I had to prime it. I didn't touch the primer. I touched the exhaust. I burnt my thumb. Extremely bad. My mom never let me touch a lawnmower again. It was the best thing I ever did as a child. I highly recommend it. Never cut the grass as a kid. But I never learned that. But what do you want to teach your kids? What do you want to pass on to the next generation? Be practical. Church, we need to be able to set up the next generation for success. Men, some of you need to hear this, no matter how old you are. Manhood is the defeat of childhood narcissism. What does that mean? Some of you are looking at me like, what does that mean? You need to grow up and stop being the baby of your family. Every one of you was somebody's baby boy. It's time to put your big boy pants on. And man up. The world isn't all about you. If you don't know what narcissism means, I want you to look it up. It's not all about you. You need to beat that stigma, that idea that the world revolves around you. The sun doesn't set and rise and set on you. It doesn't. We can either be a good man or be good at being a man. Let that sink in. He was a good man. He is all right. I don't want to be described as a good man. He was good enough. I want the men of Bridge City Church to be described as, man, was he good? That's what I wanted to be described like that. That was a man of character. That was a man who exuded the presence of God. That was a man who changed the environment around him, wasn't changed by the environment. But guys, I know the struggle's real. I've been there. I go through it too. I'm no different than you. But listen, if there's no struggle, there's no progress. There's a reason it's called the struggle bus. The bus is moving. That was a joke. You could laugh, but it's okay. It's all right. Five rules of manhood. Never going to change. Life's hard. You're not important. Your life's not about you. You're not in control, and you're going to die. Guys, you need to hear truth. Those are five rules. If you can grab a hold of those and understand them and recognize them, you're on the right track. There needs to be some earthquakes in our life sometimes, guys. And earthquakes are caused by some seismic activity. We need to go from being a boy to being a man. Number one, it's a shift from easy to difficult. Life's not easy. It's hard. Number two, boys care about themselves, but men care about others. Number three, you're a part of the story, but you're not a part of the whole story. You need to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Number four, it's a shift from control to bringing order. Men change the things that are around them, not control them. It's a shift from the temporary to the eternal. I don't care just about the here and now. Focused on something bigger. Church, it's not just about us being by ourselves. Every single one of us needs people around us. We need men around us. We need people that are going to encourage us, equip us, empower us. We need brothers. We need fathers. Every man needs a father to follow and a brother to share secrets with. I'm so thankful to look around the room and see the fathers in my life. The men in this room that have been spiritual fathers in my life, that have equipped me and helped me move forward. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What does a father look like? It's a one-way relationship. Somebody that you sit down with that's asking you more questions and gaining understanding of where you're at, what you're doing. This is where we gain competence and confidence. They're encouraging you, telling you that a boy. You can do it. I believe in you. Those statements are so powerful. When a man that is older than you, that's been there, sits across the table from you and says, you can do this. I believe in you. I've been there. What's a brother look like? Somebody you get to share what you're going through. Accountability. There's somebody that accepts responsibility with you. They give you an account for your actions. They're that one that sits across from you and says, hey, you're doing that thing you do and you need to stop. They're that one that will look at you and say, hey, you're acting like a, you know what. They're that one that you call and you throw up all your stuff and then they say, are you done now? You feel better? And then they tell you what you need to hear. Not what you want to hear, you need to hear it. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it's working. Church, men, what's our marching orders? It's really easy, yet so profound. 1 Corinthians 16:13 through 14. Be on guard. Be on guard. Some of you may be wondering, why in the world is he wearing Crocs? Why? It's not because I'm trying to be cool, hip. I'm old enough that this is the second time Crocs have been popular. I feel weird saying that. I'm not even old. Some of y'all, were they popular three times? I don't know. I think I'm going to probably be around for the third time. Wow. Why am I saying this? So I'm fighting an infection in my foot, and Pittsburgh mission trip was this past weekend. 3 days of amazing ministry throughout the city of Pittsburgh. 101 people across all four campuses were in attendance. It's awesome. 32 people at the White Oak campus were in attendance, serving the city of McKeesport. Big thanks to Linda Kubikovic for everything that you did on Friday. You did a great job speaking and just encouraging people and equipping people. In the next few weeks, I want Linda to get up here and share testimony and share. She's going to bring the roof down when she does. And what she shares is going to light you all up. And Wednesdays are never going to be the same in McKeesport. I'm just going to let you know. You're going to be busy. We're going to be busy. Get ready. Be cooking a lot of hot dogs and hugging a lot of people. Just letting you know. Midtown's about to be a BCC campus. All because of some leftover hot dogs. She's going to share the story. Four people gave their life to Jesus over the weekend throughout McKeesport. Urgency was recreated in some people's hearts to share the gospel. Got to see a man that I've known for 25 years. Walk up to me on a street in McKeesport. I didn't even recognize him until he spoke. Heroin's a horrible drug. Had everything. Drugs ripped it away. But there's an urgency. He knows Jesus. I know we talked about it, we prayed. There's an urgency in our city, but why am I telling you about the Crocs? Because I had some people at the trip that were on guard with me. They were making sure I wasn't doing things that I walking too much or running or they were on guard with me. They were helping me. Men, you don't have to be on guard by yourself. You're not alone. You have men that could be behind you, in front of you, beside you, on either side. All you got to do is ask. I had to go to those men and ask them. And guess what? When they weren't with me, they put special agents in place. Spies. I didn't know, but they told me. They asked me, how are you doing? Were you being good? I said, yeah. He said, I already knew. I said, how'd you know? He said, I have people. That's what a brother does. Be on guard, but not by yourself. Men, stay. stand firm in the faith. How do you do that? Here we go. I'm going to give you an example. Stand up. All the men, stand up. You stand together. It's easier to stand together and be strong when you're standing together. There's strength in numbers, men. Some of you, you don't know everybody's name in this room. I don't know every man that's standing right now. And that's okay. That's the beauty of the kingdom. I can't be every man's best friend in this room. But guess what? You all can. Be courageous. When you leave here today, be the same man you were when you were in this building. Respectful. None of you were doing stupid things on your phone while you were in here. Don't do it when you leave. You know what I'm talking about. And do everything with love. Men, it's not weak to be compassionate. It's not weak to cry. It's not weak to give a helping hand. It's not weak to be an example of love and caring and compassion. It is not weak to be an example of one of the Beatitudes. The meek shall inherit the earth. You know what meekness is? Power under control. I'm a powerful man, and I know it. And guess what? I don't have to prove it to anybody. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. My God fulfills me. Your God should fulfill you. He's the most powerful and will always be. Church, I'm so proud of the fact that the men in this room are going to walk out of here today with a gift. Every man above 18. You're going to get it as you leave. It's your Father's Day gift from Bridge City Church. And it's a pennant. There's also a Slim Jim and a keychain in the bag. The Slim Jim shortage is over. You couldn't get Slim Jims for a year. I know. I looked. I shopped for them. But there's a pennant. It's been a long time since there's been a pennant in Pittsburgh. But I want you to hang this up somewhere in your house. I want you to put it back under your car. I want you to put it somewhere. I want it to remind you of what it means. It doesn't just say iron sharpens iron, which is Proverbs 27:17. This is a representation of what you need to do as a man. You need to sharpen others, and others need to sharpen you. Every time you look at this pennant, I want you to ask yourself the question, when's the last time I was sharpened, and when's the last time I sharpened somebody else? When's the last time I encouraged somebody? When's the last time I was encouraged? Father God, I thank you for the men in this room. I thank you for who they are, who they were created to be. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we get to sharpen each other, encourage each other, equip each other, empower each other. And God, I pray that we will continue to walk through life together as brothers, unified by what you did on the cross. in Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Kevin's going to wrap us up.